Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us in today's show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend and stock up for your tailgate. Do it now.
Follow me. Follow me to Brewers Outlet. Store's perfectly laid out. A lot of help there to get the cases to the car. They have water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we welcome in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We welcome Tony back. And Tony, do we welcome Ben Roethlisberger back?
I think we do. I think Ben is playing his usual games this week, kind of talking about coming back. And, well, now I'm not so sure, and let's wait and see. And I'm not going to get my hopes up. And, yeah, Ben will be back. He's had a full week of practice, a good week of practice, and that is a big, big deal. There's no question about that. But especially given the game and given the situation and given what the Steelers are going to need from him, not only is Ben going to have to be back, Ben's going to have to be the best quarterback on the field. That used to be something that was easier to do against Andy Dalton than it has been this year. In most of Cincinnati's games, Andy Dalton's been the best quarterback on the field. This is a guy playing the best football he's played probably in his career. That's why the Bengals are undefeated, and that's why if the Steelers want to have any chance whatsoever to catch them, they absolutely have to sweep them in the season series, and obviously that starts Sunday.
If anybody should be thrilled, it's Antonio Brown. With Ben Roethlisberger in the lineup, his targets range from 11 to 13 per game. Without Ben Roethlisberger, his targets have ranged from 6 to 9 per game. Why is that?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, that's who Ben throws to in practice, and that's who's been thrown to, who Ben has thrown to in practice over the past several years. You know, and Mike Vick and Landry Jones haven't thrown to Antonio Brown. That's kind of a simple answer, and maybe it's too simplistic. Maybe it has a little bit to do, with the fact that Ben has just established an incredible connection and a very high comfort level. Ben will force the ball to Antonio Brown. Now, there's two things that go along with that. Antonio Brown's going to catch a lot of those, and Ben's capable of putting balls in very, very tight spots. Mike Vick, as hard as he throws the football, obviously Vick and certainly Landry Jones are not Ben Roethlisberger. So maybe those guys are a little too hesitant to try to force a ball to a guy. Those backup quarterbacks are not supposed to throw interceptions. They're supposed to just take care of the football. So maybe they're a little hesitant to try to force a ball into a tight space or to force a ball to a receiver when he's not necessarily open.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to need to be protected. He's a tough guy, but he's going to need to be protected. What's the state of the offensive line?
Well, the state of the offensive line is what it is going forward. They've got a backup left tackle in, and we can keep calling him a backup left tackle, but he's the left tackle. Alejandro Villanueva is the new left tackle now. He gave up a couple of sacks last week. A lot of guys have given up sacks in their career to Tamboha Lee, so that's not necessarily that big of a knock on Villanueva. But you're right. Ben Roethlisberger can't afford to be getting knocked around. He has to be clean. They've got to get rid of the ball quickly, certainly, to do that. But let's face it, this is a line that is right now without two guys who they were hoping to be starters, one of whom, Marquise Pouncey, who's probably their best offensive lineman. His comeback is not imminent. It was thought to be imminent, but he had a bit of a setback. He hasn't had a second surgery. There was rumors he might have to have a second surgery. I'm talking about Pouncey now, to clean up an infection in his initial injury. That hasn't happened, but he has been set back a little bit. So I don't know when or if Pouncey is going to return. So, you know, again, we can talk about backups being in there, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, Steve, this is the offensive line.
Right. Tony, what about defense? They've had a couple of injuries defensively. Where's that stand right now?
Well, Stephen Tuitt did not practice this week, and that's the biggest issue. When Stephen Tuitt plays and he's next to Cameron Hayward or he's out there with Cameron Hayward, the Steelers have a good defensive line. When either one of those guys is not playing, the drop-off is so substantial that I think they have a mediocre or worse offensive line. When both of those guys are off the field, as they were for just a handful of plays against Kansas City took advantage every single time. So that's a big-time injury. He hasn't played. It's an ankle issue. They play next week, and then they've got a bye. As much as you hate to see Tuitt miss two straight games, that may be the best way to get that ankle back to full health is to let him wait. Or, you know, who knows, maybe they give him limited snaps 2 weeks from now and then give him that full week off to try to heal. William Gay, who was hurt in the last game, did play and did practice this week. It looks like he will play. And Antoine Blake, the other cornerback, also played. So, you know, also practiced. Those were guys that were both banged up last week, Steve. Now, again, those guys are not great cornerbacks, but they're the starting cornerbacks for a reason. So when they're out, certainly the coaches feel like it's a drop-off. So even if those guys don't impress you that much, understand that that's the best they have to throw out there.
Tony, you mentioned in your initial answer about Andy Dalton consistently being the best quarterback on the field during the opening six games for the Bengals. Why?
You know, I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I think one big thing for him is they've got a stable of running backs now. Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill are both capable running backs who are, doing a good job in the run game. He certainly has found that tight end that makes a lot of quarterbacks so much better. He's found Tyler Eifert as a big part of that offense. And then they've got playmakers, not just in A.J. Green and in Marvin Jones, but Mohamed Sanu. A guy who is not going to catch a ton of passes, but he's a deep threat. He can stretch the football field. So I think they've really finally gotten a ton of weapons around him. But to me, maybe the most important one is that tight end, is Tyler Eifert, a guy he can look to, you know, anytime things break down. Just it's that comfort guy. Certainly we know what Tom Brady's done with Rob Gronkowski, but even guys like Jason Witten, and heck, we can go back and back and back with, you know, quarterbacks who have found a comfort level in tight ends like that, who really seem to open up the rest of the offense, not only for the receivers, but for the quarterback and maybe his confidence level as well.
Tony, obviously there's a lot of football still to be played, but realistically, is this a line in the sand game for the Steelers if they want to win the division?
I think it's going to be difficult to win the division even if they do win this game, and even if they do, you know, they're 3.5 back right now behind the Bengals. So, yes, they absolutely have to win this game. It is not a must-win game as far as making the playoffs, but I think there's no question that if they want any, you know, any shot whatsoever at even being in the conversation in the AFC North, yeah, they have to win this game at home.
Pitt played North Carolina last night. It was a good football game. What were your thoughts watching it play out?
I think that was about the right result. I think North Carolina's, you know, that's where they are as a football team compared to where Pitt is. I think it exposed Pitt's lack of depth a little bit. I think it exposed Pitt's lack of difference makers on the defensive line. They were not able to get pressure on the quarterback, and even when they were able to get a little bit of pressure, they didn't have the athletes to bring him down. Marquise Williams is a good quarterback. He's a, you know, very good college dual-threat quarterback. And North Carolina is just a better team right now. They just have better athletes and more of them. To me, the interesting thing is, how does Pitt respond to this? You know, is Pitt able to continue to move forward? They're still 4-1 in their division in the ACC right now. That is still wide open. Yes, North Carolina's in the driver's seat, but this is a program over the past couple of years that has not been able to respond to adversity. Can they respond to adversity? They went 1-7 last year after they lost to Iowa early in the season. Not 1-7. They went on a 1-6 stretch over seven games after they lost to Iowa. What could have been just a little bump in the road ended up throwing them completely off track. Is Pat Narduzzi and the coaching staff, who have been so good so far this year, you know, have they truly changed the culture in that locker room? And I guess that's what we'll find out now. And that's when it gets fun, when you have to find stuff like that out.
Through nine games, the Penguins have given up 17 goals. Through nine games, the Montreal Canadiens have given up 17 goals. Canadiens are 9-1. The Canadiens have scored 36. The Pens have scored 16. How mystified are you by the offense?
I mean, it really is unbelievable. And you know, with the amount of firepower they have, it's just incredible. Sidney Crosby has scored in one game this year. That alone is absolutely stupefying. He's not hurt. You know, he looks good. He's getting chances, Steve. He's getting offensive chances. They have three of the not three guys who are talented enough to be among the best scorers in the NHL. Three guys who have the resumes. Evgeny Malkin's one of the best scorers in the NHL. Sure. Sidney Crosby's one of the best scorers in the NHL, and Phil Kessel is as well. Now Kessel and Malkin are scoring, but there's been really no production from Crosby, and that is just unbelievable. What may be more amazing is they've won six of their last seven games, and I truly don't know how this was not a team that was put together to win 2-1 games, and yet that's what they're doing.
Which brings me to Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury, between the pipes, is this the best we've seen of him?
You know, he's had stretches where he's been outstanding in the past. There's no question about that. But he's never had a stretch where he's had to be this good in the past. I mean, he's been outstanding when they've been winning games, you know, 4-1, 3-0, 5-2. He's had, you know, plenty of stretches where he's played that well. But pretty much every game comes down to whether he's going to stop the next shot or not. And so far, you know, he's done that. Even in their handful of losses, he's been outstanding. They finally get a four-goal effort last night. It's unbelievable to look at that as a breakout offensive performance for the Penguins, but that's what it's been. But there's no question, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the MVP of this team through the first, you know, handful of games this season has been their goaltender.
You'll get a lot of reaction in Pittsburgh from the various things that happen around all the sports teams down there. So what have been the hot topics that have been thrown in your direction through boards and things like that, and what have been some of the interesting comments along the way in any sport?
Well, you know, I think one of the things, and it's going to be interesting to see how the fans react now that they've lost, but Pitt football picked up some traction. There's no question about that. I think people sort of embraced Pat Narduzzi and the way he's coaching this team. And even after last night, you know, they didn't make any excuses, talked about how they have to get better. So I'm interested to see if there's a lot of buy-in right now from the casual fans on Pat Narduzzi. And they've got certainly a big game next weekend against Notre Dame. We'll see if that is able to keep up. People are talking about not the same old Pitt. Well, they're going to have a game or two where that theory is going to be tested. So certainly we'll find that out. And then honestly, you know, there's probably two other topics that are huge. How long can Mike Johnson keep his job as the Penguins head coach? Well, if they keep winning, I guess that question will get tamped down a little bit. But there's no question that people are happy that Ben Roethlisberger is back on the football field this weekend.
You gauge fan reaction all the time. When did it stop being where winning wasn't enough?
That's a great question. And, you know, the Penguins certainly, you know, I think when you have a team that people talk about as a dynasty, you know, that you can kind of understand when the winning doesn't happen, when they hold themselves to that kind of a standard and that doesn't happen. To me, what's happened with the Penguins makes a little bit of sense. The winning isn't enough for the Pirates right now, for a lot of fans. And I am scratching my head on that one a little bit. It's not that long ago at all, Steve, that these guys were losing 100 games. They just won 98. That's not to make excuses. It is what it is. They had two home games, back-to-back seasons, where they didn't score any runs, and they were shut out in the wild card, 4-0 both games. So, you know, that's a great question for the Pirates. Boy, it seemed like it has happened awfully quick, though, because people were happy to be in the playoffs 1 year, and then the happy-to-be-here thing has stopped already, and now there's not outrage yet, but there's some anger about the Pirates and the fact that they can't get over the hump.
Then what's the gauge you have on how they feel about the Steelers? Does Ben's injury actually couch that a bit?
I think people are. I've actually been a little bit surprised that people have that the general fan reaction has not been worse than it's been. I think people are relatively happy to see the team go 2-2. I think a lot of people feel like they let one get away in Kansas City. But I think that the whole idea was let's keep this thing afloat. Let's keep our heads above water while Ben's out. And now, of course, though, Steve, he's back. No rust. Doesn't matter who's on the offensive line. No injuries on the defense matter. Now this is a team that they expect to go see, put up 35 points a game, and march all the way to the AFC Championship game. Not sure if it's that simple, but that's what the expectations have been ratcheted up from. Just survive to go play the Patriots, and we'll see if we can win that game in Foxborough in January.
Tony, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. See, I asked a Kevin Hurd question there at the end.
You asked a what?
A Kevin Hurd question at the end. When did it stop being good enough to win?
I don't remember asking that question.
No, it was off your commentary about the Broncos. I mean, really, they're not a good 6-0.
Well, they win today, and they will be. Or a win, rather, this weekend, and they will be.
They don't play today.
Yeah, I know. I realize I misspoke. Thanks for reminding
they
me.
They don't play today. Yeah. But when did it stop being good enough to win? Well, they won, but they're not playing anybody. They won, but, I mean, I don't really think they look that good.
It's just a pessimistic view of looking at things.
Yes, but that appears to be a pervasive view of a lot of things right now. When did it stop being good enough to win? When? And why? Why? Didn't really have a great season. They went 11-1 and, lost a game. I told you that story about Tubby Smith. Dick went down to interview Tubby Smith after they won the national championship, and two major boosters, were walking out of the office with him as Dick was waiting in the outer office. And they said, "Now, Coach, we won the national championship last year, but we lost twice at Rupp Arena, and that is unacceptable." Okay. You won the national champion. Like, you get to raise a banner deal? All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brian Barnhart, final half hour, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football basketball here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
If you're like me, you're tired of all the Halloween spooktacular deals and sick of the ghostly low prices. Since when did Halloween become a car buying holiday anyway? Well, Sunbury Motors Hyundai isn't about silly hype. They offer good old-fashioned feel-good deals all the time. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the official sponsor of great cars at great prices. And they want you in an Elantra. To prove it, there's 0% financing for 72 months on all in-stock 2016 Elantras. Check out the completely redesigned 2016 Hyundai Tucson. In stock now. Or at SunburyHyundai.com. These impressive SUVs are priced at invoice minus rebates till October 31st. Prices start at just $25,411. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, veterans and all active military receive an additional $500 off your new Hyundai in honor of your service. Forget about scary offers. Ditch the Halloween tricks and leave your costume at home. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, it's simply good old-fashioned, feel-good deals year-round. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyHyundai.com.
Here it is, Halloween Eve officially, although they had trick-or-treat night here in State College last night. And with the traffic coming into town and the traffic that will be here tomorrow, they felt it was the best thing to do was to have it last night. And everybody had fun with it, and I dressed up as a sportscaster, and it was really great. So,
real reach for you, though, wasn't it?
I essentially missed it. It goes 6 to 8 here. I didn't get home until 7:30, so because of the talk show was last night. And we don't get done till 7. Next half hour, Brian Barnhart, Illinois Radio Network. Kevin asked during the break, and I'll quote him exactly now. Is it a must-win for the Royals tonight? There are 2-0, Kev.
Well, if they lose one more, I can guarantee you the next game is going to be a must-win.
The Royals are winning the series.
I meant the Mets. You knew what
I'm quoting
you.
You
knew what I meant.
You said it three times.
I misspoke. You knew what I meant.
No, it is not a must win. It's a recommended win. I strongly recommend they win it.
Strongly encouraged.
There's only one time where it's a must win, and that's when if you lose, you're done. So it is a strongly recommended that they win. Now, there's going to be heavy heat tonight. Noah Syndergaard, average fastball for Noah Syndergaard this year. For the season, his average, 97.1 miles per hour. Okay. Ventura. You know what Ventura's average fastball for the season is?
96.3. I read that earlier today.
Yep. Now, the key is that the Royals are just so good at the plate that they don't swing and miss very often. That's what's killing the Mets in this series. They have fouled off strike three so many times in this series, and it's driving pitch counts up, and it's frustrating Mets pitchers where suddenly you feel like you've got to come up with something else. And they're hitting something else in the field. No team the last 2 years has put the ball more in play than the Kansas City Royals. That's the difference. Brian Barnhart, next half hour on the Kevin Hurt Klambeck.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to be with you. Great to be with Kevin, as always. Kevin's got a big one coming up tonight with Danville and Shikellamy. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. We'll run down our full high school schedule in a moment here. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. Follow me. Follow me to Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Plenty of help there. Free parking. They'll help you get the cases out to the car. They're terrific. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register, and the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight for the weekend. Stock up for your tailgate tonight. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am proudly in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is great to have everybody on board. You've got Selinsgrove playing at Milton tonight. Selinsgrove broadcast with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt will be on Eagle 107 at 6 tonight with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Steve Williams, he'll be on WMLP 1380 tonight with the Milton broadcast, 6:30 the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff. Lewisburg back in action tonight. They got a game with Warrior Run at home, 7 o'clock the kick. 6:30 the airtime on the Valley 100.9. Matt Catrillo will have that one for you. And, of course, Kevin and the Chief, best broadcast team anywhere, going at 6:30 tonight with a 7 o'clock kickoff on News Radio 1070 WKOK as Shikellamy plays at Danville this evening.
Are you ready for the fun fact for that game? And this is a really good one. These are the top two secondaries in the area. They have the most interceptions. 1-2. Danville's 1, Chickalamy's 2 for most interceptions in the area by a secondary.
Okay, let's bring in Brian Barnhart. What?
You didn't like that one? I thought that was a good one.
It's a very good fun fact. So I'd say run the ball. All right.
Good advice. Both teams do that pretty well, too.
One of these days, I'll get to a game. Sit behind you and Dave. Figure I get preferred seating.
Yeah, we could probably work something out for you.
Although I understand there are times you don't get preferred seating.
That also does happen. You're more than welcome to join us on top of the press box at Central Mountain in 2 years.
There you go. Brian Barnhart's the play-by-play voice of Illinois football and men's basketball. My good friend, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Good to be on with you. Thank you.
All right, Brian. When Bill Cubitt was hired as the offensive coordinator, you were really high on the hire. Now that you see him in a head coaching role where it was thrust upon him with the experience, of course, he had at Western Michigan, what do you think of him now?
Well, he's handled it beautifully, and he's handled it about as well as I think anybody can. In fact, I said that the day that, you know, the change happened. We had a little show, obviously, live from the announcement with Bill Cubitt taking over, and I told people, I said, if we're going to ever have a guy that's going to take over right now, just this particular time, this is the guy to do it, because he's been a head coach, he knows what he wants to do, and it's something as simple as, you know, that when he showed up at the first weekly press conference, and there's no reflection on Tim Beckman or anything like that. Everybody does it their own way, but Bill shows up at the first press conference with a button-down shirt and a blazer, and he goes, hey, I'm representing the school now as the head coach, and I want to, you know, be a professional. That's the way I do things. And he goes, there's no wrong way or right way to do things, just the way I do it. And, you know, he's very professional at what he does. He knows how to deal with kids. He's a very positive person. And plus, he's an offensive guru on top of all that. So I thought for what was needed at that moment in August, he was the perfect guy for the job, and he has not disappointed in that sense. He's done a great job, Steve, with the community, the booster groups. He's just very quietly putting together a nice resume that, and you hope he can tack on a few wins that, you know, along the way to give himself a chance to have the job. And I think if he does get enough wins, I think he'll probably get it.
Wes Lunt, Penn State fans do not have an accurate read on him because even though he started last year's game, he was hurt, and that's not the real guy. What have you seen from him this year so Penn State fans know exactly what the real guy does look like?
Well, he's extremely accurate. The biggest nemesis he's had this year is basically he hasn't had his top two receivers in Mikey Dudek, who's out for the year and going to redshirt, and Justin Hardy, who's an experienced receiver who's played a lot at Illinois. So your start there without those two guys. The last 2 weeks he's been without Josh Ferguson, our starting tailback, and probably again on Saturday. So, you know, he's kind of working a little bit shorthanded, but you'll notice his accuracy. You know, it's just the way he can thread the needle with a pass. He's not the mobile quarterback. I know Hackenberg has scored a couple of touchdowns, but they're very similar in sense they're basically, you know, pocket passers. He's got a great repertoire with Geronimo Allison, the top receiver in the Big Ten as far as yardage per game. Just throwing the ball to a spot and having guys hit him right in the hands. He's just extremely accurate. The other issue he's had this year, Steve, is balls just being dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's been like 40 drops this year, maybe 40 or 45. And if even half of those are caught, his completion percentage would be a lot higher this year. So just an extremely NFL strong arm that, you know, he's going to, I think, get a look by some people just because of that alone. But that's the thing that stands out to me is how accurate he is. When he played against you guys last year, he was still really not 100%. He had the fractured fibula, and you didn't really get, as you said, a good look at him the way he can perform. This year's thing has not been injuries. It's just been lack of depth at the receiver spot that's hurt us more than anything.
Well, the one guy, though, would be what Geronimo Allison, the JC transfer, who's in his second year in the program. I know he had a couple of drops against Wisconsin, but when he is on, how good can he be?
Oh, he's as good as there is as far as, catching the ball. I know that, one thing that they've talked about, Kurt Kittner had been my partner on the air the last 2 years until this year. He thought he was, Geronimo was the best at going up to get a ball in traffic since Brandon Lloyd, who just recently retired from the NFL all those years in the league. So, you know, just going up and getting a pass, he's great on the sideline routes. He just, you know, he's progressed so much, and you know how it is with junior college guys. Sometimes they spend that first half of that first year kind of figuring out how to play at this level, and then he took off along the way, and then this year he's just been outstanding. So, you know, he's not necessarily a speed merchant like Mikey Dudek is. I mean, Dudek gives you that speed that we're missing, but he can hit a lot of doubles and triples for you, and he's just, there's a real comfort zone with him and Lunt together that works really well.
Brian, last year the Illinois defense gave up huge chunks of yardage. This year it is a dramatically different story, about 120 yards less per game entering this game compared to what we saw in November last year. Why are they better defensively? Is it just growing up a bit, or is it a couple of other things?
I think it's a combination of things, Steve. I think it's, growing up. I think, you know, again, with the J.C., storyline with Jihad Ward, who you could see the light bulb literally go off above his head midway through the year. He's got an NFL body. He's 290, whatever the number is, and he's athletic, and he's finally figured out how to play football. I mean, he had been a tight end or a receiver in high school and became a defensive end in junior college, so you could see that. Chunky Clements is a guy that was kind of a backup, but he's blossomed quickly into, I think, potentially an NFL-caliber defensive tackle. DeJuan Smoot, if you remember Whitney Mercilus, that wound up in the NFL, kind of came out of nowhere. Whitney did, and he was a backup, and DeJuan Smoot's having the same kind of breakout year with the tackles for loss and the sacks that Whitney had a couple of years ago when he was with us. So those three guys in particular, and then Rob Bain is not a fast-moving guy, but he's just like a rock solid. And I think the combination of those guys growing up, but also the addition of Mike Fair, who came in from the NFL. They brought him in to coach the defensive line. He had been in the NFL for 13, 14 years, had worked with Lovie Smith down in Tampa. And I think schematically he's adjusted some things and maybe simplified some things and just made those guys more effective. So I think the combination of those two things, and you're right, it is a dramatic difference. Our big thing is having the offense be consistent enough, especially in the red zone, and taking advantage of opportunities and not having the defense on the field a lot of the game as they were against Wisconsin.
You tell me a little bit more about the safety who leads this team in tackles, but it's not a safety shouldn't lead a team in tackles. It's how he plays. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Clayton Fadjulum, number 20, you'll see him. He got dinged up a little bit at the very end of the game last week, but he should be ready to go Saturday. He's a great story because he played up in Lamont, Illinois, up in the Chicago area, and got zero Big Ten offers from anybody. Very few offers otherwise, and he wound up going to an NAIA school in the Chicago area, and then eventually played there for a little while, and then he walked on at Illinois, and then he just kept, you know, and he would be a guy, and you and I have done spring games, you know, you see his name on the chart for the spring game, and that's the only time you saw him. Well, he just kept working his way up the chart, and then suddenly at the middle of last year, he's in games, and he's making tackles, and you're like, who is this guy? And he just basically kind of came out of nowhere and got stronger and better and just became one of our best and hardest tacklers on the team. And then he has a 19-tackle performance last week, and he was all over the field. He's recovered a punt in the end zone for a touchdown, block punt. He's a couple of picks. He's just doing it all, and he's been a terrific story for a guy that just basically came out of nowhere.
Finally, Brian, the early part of the schedule is – with no offense to Illinois, is not a pretty part of the schedule. I mean, it is what it is. I thought Bill Cubitt made a great point the other day in his press conference. Iowa last year, not really that competitive. This year, down to the wire. Wisconsin, not that competitive last year. This time, down to the wire. Nebraska, not that competitive last year. This year, they win. I hope I've accurately portrayed what he said, because I think that's exactly what he said. What have you seen as to why this team is better now, and what kind of energy is that giving the Champaign-Urbana area about them?
Well, I think the best atmosphere we've had in a while was last week with Wisconsin. And it wasn't because Wisconsin really didn't bring that many people down from Madison as they normally do. And so there was just a real energy. And you're right. I think the game after we beat Nebraska, and then you go to Iowa City, and I think what impressed our fans and the people that followed the team was the team did not go out and then lay an egg in Iowa City. They were in that game. They have the ball down six with 3 minutes to go to a very good Iowa team that's still unbeaten. And had a chance to win, but then fumbled right near the end to lose the opportunity. So I think, and I could see this coming. You know, they recruited. I think the recruit class from this last year was in the top six or seven in the Big Ten. Tim Beckman had been very slowly, maybe too slow for a lot of people, but slowly building a foundation of players that I think people kind of overlooked, the Mason Monheims and the T.J. Neals and others that he recruited, that are now kind of the anchors on this team. And I think they just, you know, a lot of guys grew up. They were thrown to the wolves basically as freshmen to be forced to play before they were probably ready. And now they've matured, and that defensive line adjustment with Coach Fair coming in and those guys getting better. And they've really been pretty solid at linebacker. And then the improvement on some of the guys on the offense. It's just kind of a combination of factors or a foundation you could see was slowly being built while Coach Beckman was here, and then Bill Cubitt, I think, has built upon that, but also added his philosophies and practice style and so forth that has been received very well. So a combination of a lot of things that have made this team better. It is a better football team than the one that played here the last, you know, 3 years.
Brian, outstanding as always. Appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you, and, yeah, you can bring Ed Bond with you.
Well, Ed says he always appreciates the free publicity he gets at State College. So.
Well, he's getting a lot of publicity with Spectre coming out. All right.
That's right.
All right. Ed Bond's their engineer, by the way. And I refer to him as Ed Shaken, Not Stirred. Bond. We'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. To all the trick-or-treaters out there, have a good time coming up. Oh, yeah. And everybody driving around the area the next couple days, be careful. Those are our precious babies out there, all right, having fun. Precious babies to a point. My son Daniel was still trick-or-treating when he was 19 years old. He and his college buddies went out. I said, all right. You know, they hit like 15 streets, come back with like a huge sack of candy. I said, are you insane? I said, do they look at you at the door and go, really, really? I said, you're 6'1".
What did he go as? Do you remember? See, maybe that would have made a difference, I would think.
No, he went as a bum.
See, but Halloween is the one holiday you can dress up and celebrate. It doesn't have to be a kid's holiday either.
Well, yeah, but that's a party. You aren't still going door to door, are you? And that brought with it no answer. Okay. Kevy, have a good time. Have a good time, Kevy.
It's the only way I get candy. Actually, I buy a whole bunch of candy, put it in the bowl, let it sit by the door, leave the light off, and oh, nobody showed up. I'll have to eat it myself.
That concern you?
Unfortunately, I haven't been home the last couple of Halloweens, so I haven't been able to turn the light on.
I understand. You have a big game coming up tonight with plenty of implications for both teams.
Yeah.
Danville and Shikellamy tonight.
Yeah, Danville right now is sitting in the number 8 slot in AA, and they are looking to solidify at least a shot to play in the District 4 playoffs, and if that doesn't happen, with a win tonight, they would also solidify themselves for a home game if they decide to go Eastern Conference. So this gives them a few options on what to do and have a postseason. Of course, Shikellamy right now, the third seed, they're feeling pretty comfortable because right now the 4 seed is Columbia Montorvo Tech. Now, they'll play on Saturday, but CMVT was supposed to play a 10th game. But that was against Pius X, and Pius X closed down. So they only have 9 games this season. So their last game for any kind of points will happen tonight. So that could play an interesting scenario, can cause an interesting scenario for that fourth seed right now, which is Columbia, Montorbo Tech. Shamokin and also East Juniata are on the bubble there for that fourth seed in AAA. But so that's a brief rundown with the playoff scenario for these two teams. But, you know, you want to go in with a little bit of a roll. Both these teams have been playing very well the last couple of weeks on winning streaks. And as I mentioned earlier, probably they are definitely statistically the two best secondaries in the league this year as far as being able to intercept the ball. So I think the key to this game tonight is going to be the matchups between the quarterback and the corner. Because if the quarterback can actually read where the corners are and the safeties are and can find those holes that may be open, the team that actually throws the ball successfully tonight wins, because both these teams run the ball very well.
And the show's over. All right, so.
Well, I don't want to give away everything, but. There is one thing that I do have to share, though, that is a very interesting, a very heartfelt moment. Both teams will honor Mackenzie Riley, who passed away earlier this week. Mackenzie, the Danville senior who had cancer. And she also went to Shikellamy in middle school and I believe her freshman year of high school. So both these teams are feeling the loss of Mackenzie, who was a very, very popular athlete as well as student. So both teams will come out and honor her in the pregame and in a fantastic moment and a great gesture. Again, on senior night for Danville, it's going to be a lot more emotion with that, too.
Today, in fact, I emceed a luncheon at the Jordan Center for Coaches versus Cancer and Pink Zone. Need to keep pouring more funds into that because we want to save future Mackenzies. To Mackenzie's family, her friends, our deepest, sincerest condolences.
Her two cousins, though, will be playing, Colton and also Peyton Riley. They will both be playing tonight. They did not want to miss it, and they both said she wouldn't want us to miss it.
Yeah. Well, she sounds like she was very, very special. And to the family and to the friends, our deepest, sincerest condolences. What a shame.